In any case, it sounds fantastic. This informant said the following. The return of the Vrilodin crew with the Aldebarans will take place completely differently than one imagines. There will be no visible landing of spaceships, but the returnees will appear to come from nowhere. A hole will open in the air, so to speak, and they will then come out of there. Because the spaceships themselves will not be visible, even though they are there, since they will remain in another dimension, while something like boarding bridges will be swung out into this dimension. This idea was thought up in Germany as early as 1944. He had seen a plan sketch of a Vril 7, on which periscopes were drawn, which was supposed to be used to look through the dimension. So the idea of leaving the spaceship in the other dimension, invisible to this world, and only using a kind of snorkel to look into this world from the other side was already there. He also claimed that Aldebaran was not really Aldebaran. That was what people thought in the first years of contact and later kept the name, perhaps as a disguise. In the Aldebaran solar system there were only Sumerian bases. The world of Sumer described in the media, however, was much further away, perhaps even in Andromeda. Perhaps that is why the Roller mothership was called the Andromeda device. The phrase from the head of the bull does not mean that it is the main star of the constellation, but behind the place where the imagined constellation draws the head of the bull, much much further away. He said that the time information was correct, only that the flight speed was much higher than 3 times the speed of light. In his opinion, Aldebaran is probably just the main base of the Sumer Empire in our galaxy. He also claims that the constellations that we see as belonging together from Earth have nothing to do with each other in space and gave some examples that were forgotten. Source, Mr. X. Should we believe this reporter? How does he know that? Interestingly, in Sandra's last hypnosis we also find the commander's statement that these are different groups of a single race of extraterrestrials that has already populated an immense number of planetary systems and that Aldebaran could therefore only be a base. Are the Pleiadians, Sirians, Venusians and Aldebarans possibly one and the same group? Where is the place of origin, in this world, of this light-skinned race? Perhaps Andromeda? Or somewhere else entirely? It seems again that there is another scenario behind the scenario. Just as the Aldebarans emerged behind the small greys, it now seems that the Aldebarans themselves are perhaps just a branch of an even older race. Chapter 20, What Role Do the Small Greys Play? Before I try to explain, let us first differentiate between the crew of the spaceships on which the Faisal family was. They were always picked up by the small greys, who were around 1.20 meters tall. They were examined, however, by other beings, very similar to the small greys, but around 1.50 meters tall. And finally, there are the large human extraterrestrials, mostly Aldebarans, the women around 1.90 and the men around 2.30 meters tall, who seem to be the real organizers of the whole scenario. There are therefore 2 types of greys on these ships. The small, approximately 1.20 meter tall greys, such as Rayner's little friend S, are not so much real aliens, but a kind of biorobot, that is robots made of flesh and blood. They are apparently the executive organ, the workers of the Aldebarans, who pick up people at night and bring them back again. The biorobots are used for various reasons. Firstly, because thousands of people, according to Commander Inno, even millions, are picked up at night and this routine work is not the actual job of the Aldebarans. Secondly, it seems to be too dangerous to pick up the people yourself, because the secret government with its aliens is apparently trying to prevent these pickup maneuvers. In the event of a shot down or crash, no Aldebarans would fall into the hands of the US and the shadow government, only their biorobots. This apparently happened in Roswell in 1947. And the UFO experts are now arguing about whether these film recordings of an autopsy of such a biorobot are real or not, and even believe that they saw an alien. Critical voices say that the Roswell Greys could also be real Greys, that is not by robots, but the documents that have been published so far about the Roswell case show that these beings were about 1.20 meters tall, which in turn would indicate that they were probably biorobots. Be that as it may. In any case, there seem to be several reasons that led the Aldebarans to have these small biorobots act in the foreground. They communicate exclusively telepathically, that is on the frequency of the thought wave, and sound very metallic. The actual Greys, on the other hand, that is really animated beings that are said to live on another planet, are the somewhat larger, approximately 150 meters, doctors on the spaceships who look somewhat similar to the biorobots. They also have large eyes, but their telepathic voice supposedly does not have such a metallic sound. They are capable of slight emotional reactions, weak smile towards Reyna, in contrast to the biorobots, who are friendly but as cold as a machine. But what do the Greys have to do with the Aldebarans and why do they get genetic material from Earth? Despite their highly developed technology, these Greys have lost something crucial in their evolution, their emotional body. Thousands of years ago they too had war on their planet, but they had realized that emotions were the cause of these wars. Therefore they began to breed out their emotions through genetic changes. As a result, they no longer had wars but also no feelings. They no longer know the difference between love and hate and therefore need earthly genetic material and human feelings in order to progress in their development into the next higher dimension. But why are feelings so important? The background to this is as follows. Anyone who does not have an emotional body, or feeling body, that is a purely intellectual person, limits themselves from ascending to higher vibrating dimensions or forms of existence. And these dimensional changes, from the third to the fourth and beyond, are part of the soul's evolution. In this way, the soul goes through all experiences and experiences creation in all its diversity. The third dimension is the lowest of all vibration levels, which means that the frequency is the lowest vibrating. The stargates to the other dimensions were deliberately designed in such a way that they can only be passed through with an intact mental and emotional body. If feelings and thoughts are in balance and harmony, the magnetic field of a person, soul, vibrates harmoniously and they can thus pass through the star or dimensional gate. If it is disharmonious, it gets stuck. It could be compared to a sieve. An ice cube gets stuck, but the water, whose molecules vibrate higher and faster at the same time, gets through. In simple terms, that means only loving beings, that is those who feel love and pass it on to others, as a result of which their natural frequency vibrates higher, get through. 2,000 years ago, Jesus called this separating the wheat from the chaff. The Greys have obviously overlooked this fact. They have lost the ability to love and be loving and have become pure emotionless logicians. As I already briefly described in the introduction, our sun rotates around an even larger sun, the Black Sunday. During this rotation, we, our solar system, now move back to it again, which has been referred to since ancient times as the phase of awakening. During this movement towards our symbolic power or source of life, the frequency, that is the swing, also increases at the same time. Rate of the energy particles on which our bodies are built. And just as we know the boiling point in our example, water, that is the point at which the frequency and molecular movement accelerates to such an extent that it passes into the next higher state of matter. We beings, extraterrestrial or terrestrial, also change our state of matter from such a symbolic boiling point and pass, like water to water vapor, from the third to the fourth dimension. All those who cannot demonstrate the necessary ethical awareness and an intact emotional body through the practice of love will not make it through and will inevitably be left behind. See more detailed explanations in the final chapter of Book 3. And so in our case the Greys have been traveling from planet to planet for a long time, always trapped in the third dimension. They can travel to the 12 overtones of the third dimension, that is higher frequencies within the third dimension, but not the fourth. But since it is now the Earth's turn to make the leap into the fourth dimension and the Greys have not found any other planet on which emotional life in the third dimension exists in this form and from which they can learn feelings of this kind again, they must now start working on themselves. Of course, their race, only the physical bodies, would die out completely, just as the dinosaurs once died out on Earth. Through genetic interventions and crossbreeding, they want to incorporate our characteristics into their own genetic concept in order to ensure the survival of at least part of their race. They hope that the crossbreeding will produce beings with their knowledge and refined with the emotional body of an Earthling, in order to be able to take part in the development into higher dimensions. The various large extraterrestrials who love and observe us, who possess spiritual technology and are therefore able to travel, at least short distances, through dematerialization without spaceships due to their spiritual maturity, have supported this project, since the Greys are not our enemies, but have the same origin as us, since everything comes from a source of creation. Creation knows no enemies, but polarities, and always follows development paths that enrich everyone. The Greys are basically our star brothers, who now realize that they had taken the wrong path and now need our help. During Rayner's fifth hypnosis session, it was announced through the media that the little Greys have not been active here on Earth since mid-1995 and have since retreated to their home planet, which is probably in the constellation Orion. But there is said to be at least one other race of Greys, somewhat larger in size and who, according to sources currently circulating on the UFO market and according to the Aldebarans, behave in an extremely manipulative manner. They are said to have been working with the US government and the Illuminati since around 1954. However, this contact is said to have only been established after the Aldebarans met with President Eisenhower at the Holloman Air Force Base in 1954 and offered the US government a spiritual and technological exchange, demanding in return that they destroy their nuclear weapons. According to the reports, Eisenhower refused, but was warned at the same time by the Aldebarans that another race of extraterrestrials with evil intentions was already present over the equatorial region and was speculating on working with the US government. A contract was later supposedly concluded with them. In this contract, the aliens are said to have promised the Americans, or the Illuminati, extraterrestrial technology in exchange for experiments on animals and humans in order to extract genetic material and blood from them, for what purpose I do not know. These manipulative Greys, in contrast to the Greys who work with the Aldebarans, have decided against taking the path of love on their own or getting help from other aliens and are apparently continuing to play their game of manipulation, control and power. Rayner's last hypnosis session revealed that these Greys are at war with the Aldebarans. The Aldebarans, on the other hand, would like peace. And neither these Greys nor the Illuminati have any interest in the Aldebaran operation being a success. But no new enemy image is to be created here, even if these aliens or the Illuminati currently prefer to assert their own stubbornness. Sooner or later they will also realize that they will reap what they have sown and, based on this realization, will sow more enriching things than what they are doing at the moment. They are also our brothers and sisters. They have simply chosen to go a different way, just as we have all been asleep up until some point and lived something, just nothing conscious. Some learn a little earlier, others a little later, but at some point we all reach the same goal of conscious unity in spirit. Chapter 21, What is the Aldebaran Operation? Everything in life is based on harmony, the law of balance, and so is the Aldebaran operation. And it works like this. Both sides, the Aldebarans and the little Greys who work with them on the spaceships, have a problem. The Greys need human genetic material to enable their race to survive and develop spiritually by giving the half-Grey, half-human beings an earthly human emotional body. These hybrid beings would then be able to experience human feelings with the knowledge of the Greys and thus become so-called Super Greys. The souls connected to this project have made an agreement with these Greys to help them by taking their bodies with them at night, using their seeds for breeding and then acting as parents, playing with the children and conveying human feelings. But this is only half the story. In return, these greys are said to have promised the Aldebarans and us earthly people their help, namely with the Aldebaran Project. According to our current research, this looks like this: the Aldebarans themselves say they are our ancestors, but they also intervened genetically in our development a long time ago, but apparently not quite as happily and without judgment. Now they are doing it again, but this time in agreement with the people who are being used for this. After the Earth changes and the time of reconstruction after the announced pole shift, they will land here and release a new race, half human, half Aldebaran. These hybrids are created in the same way as the crosses between humans and greys through human seeds, or through Aldebaran seeds that are introduced into earthly human women. In this case, the fetuses of the women who agreed to this before incarnation are removed after 3 months and then moved to the breeding facilities on the spaceships. These are the children that Reyna played with when he was on the spaceship, beautiful children with big eyes, a very high forehead and long hair. They are super children, so to speak. With the genetic material of humans and therefore still permissible in our three-dimensional frequency level, but with the mental maturity and consciousness potential of the Aldebarans, they are said to use 100% of their brain and to be able to work with both halves of the brain at the same time. This ability is said to make them highly telepathic and clairvoyant, and to be able to speak to animals. According to the Aldebaran Inno, the Greys are already back on their planet with their children and have integrated them into their lives. The Aldebarans, on the other hand, cannot yet release the new children, half them, half us, onto Earth. There are said to be various reasons behind this. On the one hand, because of their high sensitivity, they also seem to be receptive to other energies at the same time. They feel the pain of animals during animal transport, hear their cries, they feel the pain and melancholy of the sick and lonely, the destructive frequencies of the satellites that are broadcast daily over people in a targeted manner to make them aggressive or depressed. They feel these subtle frequencies. Also the cries of trees when they are felled and many other energies that most of us are not, any longer, aware of. And so these children must first learn to cope with such energies. It is precisely this sensitivity and sensibility that enables these children, but also every sensitive person, to advance development on Earth, since they obviously cannot live with the energy of deception, lies, torture and war. If they were to cause pain to a person, that person would immediately respond to them, which any spiritually developed or simply conscious person can confirm. Once you have landed on the spiritual path and, symbolically speaking, have seen the light, you can no longer live as before. You cannot bear it yourself. You want to move forward. The more consciously you observe yourself and live your life every day, the more aware you become of these energies. You become more aware of the seeds you sow every day, but also of the harvest. Through a more conscious way of living and thinking, the vibration of one's own magnetic field increases, which in turn means that one creates more purposefully and intensively based on the law of cause and effect. Wishes or actions that one sows in the world come back to one more quickly and precisely, both pleasant and unpleasant. And the Aldebaran children must also be taught by earthly people how to behave and feel in earthly human ways, so that they can understand the various human emotions and then integrate properly into our earthly life. These children, possibly our future teachers, are then supposed to help the Earth to develop rapidly in just a few decades. But this project also seems to be very dangerous, as these children would turn our planet upside down. They are not supposed to be manipulable and would therefore not fall for the nonsense that is suggested to us daily by the controlled mass media, about our fine society, politicians, banks and churches. Through their brain halves working together and harmoniously, they are supposed to have direct access to their subconscious and superconscious and would therefore always be able to access direct information from higher dimensions. This would change the world for the better. New technologies, architecture, beliefs, nutrition, education, payment systems, government, a completely different way of dealing with so-called death, and so on. And for this very reason it is understandable why the Illuminati, with their tool USA, are trying to stop this venture by shooting at the Aldebarans and making life difficult for the contactees. At the same time, they are misinforming the world about Hollywood and thereby distracting from what is actually happening. But their planned New World Order is already doomed to failure. Too many mistakes have been made so far. The integration of these children will be one of the most beautiful and exciting experiences in the history of this planet. And the best thing about it is that they are our own children. For me, UFOs, elves and dwarves, as well as the archetypal beings found all over the world, are proof that we are part of a larger community of intelligent beings, a highly complex hierarchy of powers and followers. Brad Stager, UFOlogue. Chapter 22, is the general public already being prepared for contact with aliens? In our opinion, yes. Those who have the necessary knowledge can find a great deal of different, hidden information based on actual events in many science fiction films, documentaries and the like. Here is just a small example. The film Independence Day, which is about the major attack on Earth by monster aliens, would not even be that far-fetched from the American perspective. Let me explain. What could the Americans be so afraid of? Could what the film shows, exaggerated, of course, be quite justified? There are two ways of looking at this. One, if we assume that the reports about a contract between the USA and a group of evil greys, 1954, are true, and also the indications that these greys only used the Americans and did not keep the contract and that the whole thing got out of hand, the film Independence Day could actually refer to a takeover by these evil greys. They could probably plan something similar but have obviously been prevented from doing so by other extraterrestrials. 2. In any case, it can be assumed that the USA knows very well about the activities of the Aldebarans, in connection with the other, peaceful, smaller greys, if only for the fact that the Aldebarans helped the Vril Company to build flying saucers, of which the Americans got their hands on documents and records, through Operation Paperclip, after the Second World War. And the illuminated US government would of course also have to be aware that the Aldebarans are not particularly friendly towards them, not towards the people, after the previous attempts to shoot them down, which in turn would mean that the great USA, which currently still dominates on Earth, would have nothing to counter Aldebaran technology and would therefore have no say on Earth in the further future. Even from both points of view, the Americans have no interest in flying saucers, whether carrying large people or small greys, landing on Earth in large numbers. Whereas it can be assumed that the rest of the world would be far more pleased about such an intervention by positive forces. And the fear in this film, in much, the film, which is presented with exaggeration, shows the establishment's insecurity towards extraterrestrials. Of course, the Aldebarans and other races will never come to Earth to wipe us out, on the contrary. If they intervene, it will only be to save us from our own destruction. The aforementioned film also included a number of other true events that were not always immediately apparent, such as Area 51, according to which the Americans are said to have recovered a UFO with its occupants, possibly Aldebaran biorobots, since 1947. And the fact that the president was said to have known nothing about it has a real background. The film even showed, in a very ironic way, an abductee, like Rayner, who finally got his chance to pay back the evil aliens, instead of forgiveness. Hollywood once again teaches us revenge. Anyone who has dealt with the UFO topic even a little can see that a lot of things were put into this film that are very close to reality. Unfortunately, this type of packaging of information only had one purpose, to stir up fear of extraterrestrial life. In addition to being a good advertisement for nuclear weapons, this film also contained good advertising for our current government systems, whereas the extraterrestrials have nothing but bad things to offer. The truth is exactly the opposite. After thousands of years of experience, The great extraterrestrials would have offered our planet a form of government that would make it impossible to control banks and monopolies and enslave people. That would mean no new world order. But despite everything, this film had one positive effect. It reinforced the idea in the average person that extraterrestrial life might actually exist. It stimulated the subconscious of many people and forced them to think. It could be, who knows? The X-Files series, which reports a lot on this topic, also comes quite close to reality in some things and events. The background and facts in particular are often encrypted and have to be crystallized, despite the action and suspense that accompanies the series. Everywhere, especially in the USA, this series has become a cult series. Why is that? The only pity is that the Greys are always portrayed as negative, which only seems to apply to some of them, and nothing is mentioned at all about the aliens behind the Greys. And so, of course, the viewer is always left with a fearful and strange taste in relation to aliens, deliberately of course. Even in advertising, UFOs and aliens are broadcast in the background. Nothing happens by chance in public, and I assume that this information is also deliberately controlled by the Illuminati to see how people react to this topic. Do they panic or do they react calmly? And most likely we are being subliminally prepared for a possible, imminent contact. In this case, however, it is more likely that it is contact with the aliens with whom the US government is said to be working and who may want to make a final attempt to get their hands on the Earth. If one were to confront the citizens who live unconsciously and are completely addicted to lower matter with the fact that aliens have long been living among us, that governments are cooperating with them and that flying saucers have even been built, not only would their perfect world collapse, they would most likely break out into hysteria, because their values and their entire worldview would now be called into question. Therefore, it is also in the interest of the Aldebarans to meet people very slowly, because they do not want to act as our masters, with the aftertaste of being far superior to us. They want to meet us as equal partners and in cosmic brotherhood. Conscious people who know what they have to do, as for example when they meet the crew of Vrilodin. For me personally, it is clear that more and more such programs and films are now being broadcast. It is becoming a matter of course. The citizens of the world are slowly but surely being prepared for this, so that the governments can finally confirm the truth at the right time. An exciting time is ahead of us in any case, and we should actually be happy, even proud, to be living on this planet at this special time. Chapter 23. Why has there been no official landing yet? To answer this question, we only have to put ourselves in the position of the interplanetarians. They come from the infinity of the universe, see the beautiful blue planet, they discover they are scorning us humans. What are they doing, people who are thousands of years ahead of us in evolution? It is certainly no problem for them to listen in on us, our radio and TV stations and our thoughts. They would probably be appalled at our low intellectual development, frightened by our primitive nature, outraged by our materialistic thinking, by our way of deceiving and murdering fellow human beings out of greed, jealousy and other base motives. They would be shocked by the way we treat our fellow human beings, our own planet, animals and plants, not to mention the atom bomb tests. They would be sad about our many acts of aggression towards one another and about our low spiritual intellectual development. They will probably be saddened that we have become so materialistic and obsessed with power. They also know that in 20 years at the latest we will no longer be able to breathe our own air, which we are polluting through our ignorance. Because they feel for us and know that we are digging our own graves if we continue down this path. How can one destroy oneself while fully conscious? They also know that we already have technologies on Earth that could bring about the decisive change, which have long been lying dormant in economic drawers but are deliberately not brought to market. It would be the downfall of wealth and power. How much they would like to dare to make open contact, but what would happen then? With the current level of awareness and area of interest of the average Joe, a huge panic would probably break out among people. The governments would just keep everything secret again, misinform the public, and use this new technology militarily to become an invincible world power. They might possibly tell the people the opposite of what is actually the case about the visitors via the mass media.